We have happened upon a text that is surely known to most of us. It is David's Psalm of Confession. We would all agree that it really is unique in terms of its presentation to us. It is the pinnacle of human confession in all the scriptures. No one can deny it is a PowerPoint, a place of great strength. For here's a man who has obviously fallen far from the will and the purpose of God for his life. The sins he has committed, as we reflect upon David's life, are gross sins. They are sins that are offensive to the best within us. And now he has realized the gravity of his wrongdoing, and he is broken because he realizes what he has done. He has awakened to the depths of his sinfulness, and he comes pleading the Father's mercy and forgiveness. This is a scripture one cannot read and walk away from lightly. Yet the truth be told, I do not see many of us using this psalm as a spiritual blueprint, a model for our own times in prayer. You see, we feel almost like spiritual voyeurs as we go into this psalm. Here's a man who is spiritually naked before God, exposed for all of his wrongdoing, and we don't feel comfortable in the presence of this kind of experience. It feels foreign to our own experience to visit this particular text. Most of us would declare the psalmist is speaking of sins that register on 8+ in the Richter scale of spiritual wrongdoing. It belongs to David, for he penned the words and he is the one who is praying the prayer. Honest truth is that few of us find confession in any description to fit well into our expression of faith, but certainly not to the degree of the confession bound up in this text. In fact, it feels pretty much awkward when confession comes up in public worship, or perhaps even in our Sunday school classes. It feels somewhat awkward when it is the theme of worship itself. If we offer confession, we generally offer it in such bland, generic terms that it really is not difficult for everybody to relate to, but nobody is offended by the words. Nobody is made too uncomfortable by what we confess. So I reached a conclusion this week. It is a conclusion that is in terms of a confession for this congregation. We are not a confessional people. Congregations that are confessional practiced a distinct openness toward one another. The masks come off. In confessional congregations, visceral aspects of one's being are sometimes evident, visible before others. Tears of brokenness, contrite spirits, contrite hearts. Confessional congregations experience a closeness that allows people the confidence to trust others with their own delicate aspects of being. We are not a confessional people. And now I confess to you my own duplicity. I'm not sure I want us to be. You see, confession scares me. To open confessional boxes is to open Pandora's box. I'm just not sure what might emerge. If we were confessional, I would need to worry about whether some member might misappropriate this privilege. Some member might come forward during the invitation, as I have had it happen, and ask for the opportunity to say a few words to the congregation. Imagine my anxiety when I'm not sure what they are going to say. I have not had opportunity to filter those words out or to screen them out to see that they are appropriate kinds of words to say. Would it be a stinging indictment against the congregation? Might they have some confession of wrongdoing personally that really should be kept private, offstage handled, rather than in a public kind of way? Would they involve someone else in their revelation who did not want their public, their dirty laundry to be aired in public? So make no mistake about this. I recognize the value of confession handled properly and carefully. If you felt confessional, and God led you to such an event to share your personal failure or your personal pain that was weighing heavily on your conscience, and you came to me, you would be assured, first of all, you'd have my full attention. Here's someone over the course of 50 plus years now in ministry who has heard some very difficult words from people who are sharing the brokenness of their life, their personal failures. So I understand the value of being able to tell someone about something that has long since troubled you. But confessional congregations expose themselves to peculiar dangers. Suppose some well-intended person brought sensitive information to this congregation, and in a sincere request, ask the congregation to pray for them, pray over that particular matter. Then suppose someone in that congregation with less than a mature attitude took that information and made it into the latest form of gossip within the community. And in some circles, that person would be highly valued because they carried some component a brokenness from somebody else's life. Do you see where my concern lies? Confessional congregations always run the risk of matters getting out of hand. You will understand then when I tell you I'm not sure the risk of confession are worth the risk. Instead of gaining strength and support, perhaps in the process we would lose openness and support for one another. So where does this leave us on this issue of confession? Is it better to follow the safe path that refuses to explore the darker aspects of our being? Is it better to go on pretending we are better people than we are? Or should we risk the path set forth by David in this psalm and expose our inner depths? Would we explore where God would take us if we found room to become confessional people? The first truth of this text, people, is unavoidable and inevitable. There is a deep and abiding need in every human heart to come clean, to get down to the bottom of the barrel when it comes to our sinfulness. That which resides in our hearts doesn't come to visit, but lives there, breathes there, finds in the darkness of our being a place of refuge. The sinfulness of our hearts, the sinfulness of our ways, the sinfulness of our thoughts. You see, we're all icebergs. When it comes to spiritual honesty, we display 10% of our brokenness. We bury the other 90% where it's not visible to those who see us. Who among us would want all of our thoughts about others, about our life, about whatever we think put on public display? Who would want our private trash to be seen by others? There is, however, always a need to find a confidant. We are always searching for a safe place to reveal our secret sinfulness. We do want that. We want someone who will provide us a helpful place to confess our wrong. We want that sense of absolution that comes only in the confession of our wrongdoing. Some researchers at the University of Toronto explored this theme a little bit. They asked people to come in as subjects, volunteers, and to, first of all, to sit and reflect deeply upon their life and the transgressions of their life, the acts of shame that unfolded because of them. And when they finished, they then gave them an opportunity to wash their hands. And those who had had vivid memories of their wrongdoing, more than twice as many as others, came and wanted to wash their hands. And we call that the Macbeth effect. A short time ago, two ladies decided to take this business of confession upon themselves. They were actors in New York City, and so in Manhattan, they went into a storefront. They dressed up as washerwomen so that they wouldn't be threatening inside this storefront window. And they wrote on the window there, "Air your dirty laundry here," the washerwomen aspect. 100% confidential, the little sign said. Anonymous and free, and there on the outside on the sidewalk was a place where people could stop long enough, take a piece of paper, and write out their sinfulness, and then fold it up, and then disappear. And when they had gone, one of the women would go out, they would get that confession, and then they would paste it on the wall. And these were some of the confessions, some humorous, some sad beyond measure. "The hermit crab was still alive when I threw him down the trash chute. I want to see all SUVs explode. Those people are so selfish. I make fun of this one friend behind her back all the time. She just enrages me. But I freak out when I think that she might be saying the same about me. I worry what this means to our friendship. Human relationships are infinitely confusing. This one, I'm dating a married man and getting financial compensation in exchange for my guilt. I'm 25 and he's a millionaire. It pays to be young." The women said as they worked through this process for several days that it just became more and more a heaviness in their life. They would go home and take long baths trying to remove this burden of confession that they saw unfolding in people who passed by a storefront window and were given the opportunity to confess. Let me tell you something the church needs to hear. Confession serves as a vital function in the life of every person. Confession of sin is a necessary step in the redemptive process, or God wouldn't have put it there. It's coming clean with God, which we want so badly. If we confess our sins, the Bible says, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins. But it isn't just lost people who need to see the vital aspect of confession. For Christians, too, need to see that sin confession belongs to all of us. There isn't a day in the life of any of us when we do not reach the end of that day with some realization that we have failed the Lord God above. And we need to confess that. People can and will confess if they know they can do so without negative consequences. They will confess to strangers if they can do so safely. In our time, we constantly hear about public confession, not always because people want to make them, but because somebody else has dug up their dirty laundry as a politician or as a sports figure or whatever, and finally they are forced to come clean, to confess what they've done wrong. Pete Rose denied for 15 years that he had bet on baseball, but after 15 years, he figured out he was pretty well washed up anyway. He had been banned from the sport 1989 for the duration of his life, and so he wrote his book, knowing that by selling the book he'd make a little money. But Pete Rose didn't stop there. capitalizing on his confession. If you go to his website, you can buy an authentic baseball from Pete Rose, and it will have written on it at your request, "I apologize for betting on baseball," signed by Pete Rose. And it only costs you $299 plus $4.99 for the shipping and handling. And so he's making profit out of his confession. The church needs this reminder, people. Confession is a sacred trust that someone who is broken, someone who has seen the error of their ways, comes and places in our hands. We are charged with providing that place of refuge, that place of healing, that place of understanding, for we ourselves are bringing God the same confession. The wrong others entrust to us must be kept confidential. We are called upon to pray that God will be honored in the worst of circumstances. And yes, there are times when someone else's confession will demand on your part an involvement in situations that are not necessarily comfortable for you. The only difference between the church and the world is how we handle this delicate knowledge. Within this body lies the knowledge of God's grace, God's forgiveness, God's redemptiveness, and we as God's people are to be entrusted with that and make the place for it. There is a site on your web called postsecrets.com, a site that has been visited by over 300 million people. Did you hear me? Over 300 million people. It is not a site placed there by the church or any church organization. It is a site placed there by a man who knew people probably wanted the opportunity to confess. And so people make up their postcards in what is supposed to be creative little fashion. It is said to be an artistic way of confessing your wrongdoing. And they send those to him. And then on Sunday morning, only once a week, he posts the top 20 of his confessions on the website. So you can go home now and you can see it for yourself. Sometimes we forget there's an awful lot of confession going on out there. But the redemption from that confession rests here. We provide something that the person needs above all, not just to say I've done wrong, but to say I've done wrong, and the Heavenly Father, in His love and in His infinite grace, is willing to forgive me. So I want us to realize we must never get to that place where we are ashamed of our wrongdoing. There are people who come through these doors ever so conscious of their need for God, ever so conscious of the wrong they have done, and that wrong is waiting upon them like a heavy load breaking their lives apart. And if we come and we pretend we have no sin, the Bible says if we pretend we have no sin, we make God a liar. We are all but sinners in need of His grace in this place. David's psalm is not something that must be removed from us as though we had no place within it. It is the nature of who we are. We are all broken. We are all in need of what God and God alone can provide for us. When you go to your family doctor, there comes a time sometimes when the doctor will say, "Strip off. We need to have a physical today." There isn't anybody that likes to do that. It's an uncomfortable time. Our private space invaded. But we submit to that examination because we know it is for our own health and good. That's what church is to be, people. That doctor who is the doctor of all doctors, needs the opportunity to look into we who are his people, stripped naked of all of our claims of self-righteousness and all of our goodness, bear before him with the confession of David, Lord, I have sinned and I have sinned against you. And in that, and only in that, that's the uniqueness of what God asks of us. Only in that confession does the healing process take place. It's like a fester on one's arm. Sometimes you have to get to the very core of it and cleanse the wound before God can bring the healing. If there is a single lesson to be gained in this psalm, people, it centers here. The psalmist brings his confession to God because God, and God only, has the power to forgive and bring about that cleansed spirit. I trust and pray if you've got something you need to deal with, that this would be always the place where you know you can bring it to your Heavenly Father. Would you now bow your head with me? And I'm going to ask the choir to sing for us this morning. If it's comfortable for you, I'd like for you to place your hands on that pew in front of you and just lean forward.